Will you stand with me if you're able? Philippians 2, 5 through 11. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness, and being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God also highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bend in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. That's the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Thank you, Chris. You may be seated. Well, today, friends, we begin a brand new message series. And as you've seen on your screen, it's all about being courageous. And so I just want you to know that today I'm not always feeling courageous. So keep me in prayer, all right? Something tells me that we all struggle with that a little bit. I do have a question to start us out. How are you? Great. Fine. Practically perfect. In every way, right, Gordon? Feeling pretty good. Okay. I heard a man over here. Kind of. Good to be here. Very good. Those of you at home, if you want to type in the chat window, do you know how risky that question is? Those three words, how are you? Because I think that when we ask that question, it's really more of a greeting. Instead of saying hey or hi, it's how are you? And what is our automated response typically? Fine. You all did a good job, by the way. You dug in. But it's a risky question. Because what happens when you ask that question? Number one, you got to be ready that someone's not going to give you an automated response. That they're going to say something that's going to require a little bit more attention, a little bit more of your time. And if someone asks you that question, and you feel that automated response of, I'm fine, coming up, and then you go, no, I feel like crap, then what you've just done is that you've taken the risk that the person that asks you how you were really wants to know how you are. How are you is a risky question. It takes courage to ask, really, and it definitely takes courage to answer if we take that question seriously. You want me to turn up the dial a little bit? I had conversations this past week with pastoral colleagues and with members of our church about a variation on that question, how are you? And this is a question that many Christians, especially United Methodist Wesleyan Christians, know, but we don't ask a whole lot. And that is, how is it with your soul? I don't hear as many responses to that question as I did with how are you. And it's because that question doesn't necessarily let you off the hook. The automated response of I'm fine that we're conditioned to, it doesn't come to us easily. We have to really think, well, how is it with my soul? I don't think about what's going on in my soul. What's going on in my soul? And then you think about it, it's like, well, do you really want to know what's going on in my soul? Is that any of your business? Can you hear all the thoughts that come through your head when these kind of questions are asked? It requires something of us. It requires us, as Shannon had lifted up earlier, it requires us to be vulnerable. It requires us to let down our guard, to turn off our defensive shields in order to be real with someone. Now, we know that we are loved by our God. Amen? We know we are loved by our God through Jesus Christ, who loves us, that he died for us. We know that we are loved by our God through that wonderful Holy Spirit that anoints and fills our hearts. And we know that we are called to love too. We are called to love one another, and we are called to share that love with others. We are called to be open and honest with each other. But in order to do that, we know that we are also called to be courageous, especially when we are called to be vulnerable. You know, society, and you heard a little bit of this from the Brené Brown quote that Shannon talked about, which I have a quote from Brené Brown too, Shannon, just to say the Holy Spirit is a marvelous thing. You get this idea that our society thinks that courage means you've got to be strong, no fear, resolute, tough. But most courage comes from vulnerability, doesn't it? For 8 years, the Reverend Karen Taylor and I had the honor and joy of co-directing Local Pastor Licensing School for Missouri Conference. I've spoken on that before. Just to remind us and to inform those that don't know, what we help do in co-directing licensing school is we teach pastors the nuts and bolts of ministry, the things that they have to know. Some of them are in seminary. Some of them just don't have hardly any education. They're all at different levels, at different ages. But they all come together to learn the nuts and bolts of ministry. What are the nuts and bolts of ministry? Well, they are many. Pastoral care, learning how to take care of people. Learning how to design a worship service. Learning how to officiate at a funeral. Learning how to officiate at a wedding. Learning how to fill out paperwork for the district and the conference. Learning how to do so many things. But you know, the students come each week when we have licensing school, and what they do is they came with excitement and they embrace all that learning, all that information download that we poured onto them. But there was one thing that they were going to learn more about that inspired within them not a joy, but a fear. In fact, it was terrifying. And that was preaching. Nothing makes a pastor feel more vulnerable than preaching. And what they knew is that they were going to have to preach, but they didn't know the extent of it until they got there. And what I shared with them when they got there is like, guess what? You get to preach. To which I heard, you get to preach in front of me or Karen as we kind of give you a constructive evaluation. And you get to preach in front of your colleagues that are here. And then I get the response, And then the questions start rolling in. Kevin, can I use last Sunday's sermon? No. Kevin, can I use a sermon that I preached before, one I really like? No. Kevin, can I choose the scripture that I want to base my sermon on? No. What they had to do was on that first night, they had to come up and in a hat, a magical hat, kind of Harry Potter-like, I guess, what they had to do is we had a whole bunch of scriptures that had been cut up and placed in a hat for them to choose. And out of that hat, they would choose the scripture that they were to preach from. Some of them were easy. You know, the scripture of the great commandment. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. But then some would get that whole big piece of scripture about David and Goliath. They all had all sorts of different scriptures they had to choose from. And the whole point was, given this scripture, do the work to be able to prepare this sermon. Study from the commentaries. Look at how you do things and get that sermon ready. Then the next question comes, well, Kevin, how I usually do this is I go off on the fly, or I take notes, or I have my iPad with me. I said, well, that's great when you're preaching, but I require a manuscript. You have to write out your sermons. And that's the biggest that I've ever heard. Because a lot of them, it's like, they're not used to doing that. But what I told them is, I have to be able to follow. You can divert from your manuscript, but I have to see where you're going here. And oftentimes, I also know that if you go beyond time, because they are timed to stay within 15 minutes, that when they go beyond that time, that I know where they were in their sermon. So friends, what they do is they take that assignment, and with much fear and trembling, they go about it. Most of the week, I think most of Karen's and my time is just telling them, it's going to be all right. And you know what? It's more than all right. When all is said and done, when they've preached their sermon, it is the best thing ever. And when they are done and they evaluate their licensing school experience, guess what's the highest rated activity that they do? Being able to share their sermon. All of that coming from their fear and trembling. Everything else that they've learned there might come with relative ease. Even if they're weak in certain areas, they're still able to learn more about different things. But it's the preaching where they really have to get up and they really have to share from their heart, where they really are at their most vulnerable. Well, that's where they show courage. This culture would say that to show courage, we have to be strong. We have to be, Brené Brown has this quote. She, by the way, do you all know who Brené Brown is? Might have heard her name a lot. She is the chair, the endowed chair at the University of Houston in their Department of Social Work. And she's just an amazing speaker. But this is worth repeating. I think this is part of the quote that you shared, Shannon. But this is worth hearing again. Society has taught us that vulnerability is synonymous with weakness. And it really has, hasn't it? But it's just the opposite. Vulnerability is the willingness to show up and to be seen by others in the face of uncertain outcomes. There's not a single act of courage that doesn't involve vulnerability. And you know that. When Kip and I read off those lists of saints, those people that have had an impact on our lives, can't you just think of them now, picture them in your hearts and seeing where they've lived out their faith and been courageous in all the vulnerability that many of them had? Some of them that have been older, that have faced the challenge of losing people in their lives, of losing their mobility, of losing their homes and moving in other places. What courage that they had to face. What faith came from their vulnerability. I'm looking out right now, and I know you at home, and I see great courage and vulnerability too. We need to remember that. We need to remember that courage comes from vulnerability, because we have that in our heart because of Jesus. This world would say, the society would say, that we would have to be strong, that we would have to be powerful, but that is not Jesus' way. Paul wrote this letter to the church in the churches in Philippi, trying to bring them all together because there was great conflict among them. But he wrote this letter to them, and what he was trying to share with them is that Jesus was different than what they knew. What they knew was the world around them, the Roman Empire, the world as it was. We have the world around us as it is. And it's one of those situations that the more that things change, the more they stay the same. Power is through dominance. Power is who wins. For Roman Empire, it was in the conquering of their enemies. But Jesus, that was not the way. Jesus took power and turned upside down. Because Jesus showed what true power was. God power, glory of God power. And that was to become vulnerable. And so Paul shares a very early Christian hymn. And I got to tell you, as often as I've tried, I can't come up with a hymn or a tune to go with this. I've tried many times. But this is a hymn. So when you go home tonight, today, and you read Philippians 2, 5 to 11, and you should, just think you are reading one of the oldest hymns in the New Testament. Paul is saying, let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited. Jesus is God. Sometimes that can mess with us. We think of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And, you know, I got to remind us that we do not worship three gods, right? We worship one God. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God. Right? So Jesus is God. He was in the form of God. He was equal to God, but he didn't want to exploit that. But he emptied himself out, taking the form of a servant, of a slave, being born in human likeness, and being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even on a cross. The ultimate vulnerability, amen? Why would God do this? Why would God put on flesh and do this? It doesn't make sense. When it comes to God's will being done, why doesn't God just press the smite button on his heavenly computer to take out those who are against God's will? Why doesn't God send heavenly angels down to do anything? Why doesn't God create only good people that love people? Well, we're not going to answer all those questions here. I just want to say that what we have here is that God put on flesh as Jesus Christ to tell us that I love you and I am here for you. And my power is not over you, but is to be for you and is to be with you. And that's where true power and vulnerability happens. So what happens when Jesus becomes vulnerable in this way? Then Jesus is exalted. Can I hear an amen? And when we exalt Jesus Christ, that means that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord. Is Jesus Lord? Is Jesus Lord? This is what we confess. And this is part of our call. If we are to have the same mind, the same will of Christ, then we also need to know the power of our that is part of our vulnerability and the courage to be vulnerable. I want to be careful here because I'm not saying that you let down every boundary. There are some boundaries that happen that are in place so that there is some relative safety here. But we have to struggle with balancing those boundaries and being vulnerable. What I truly think we need to do is to wake up and really be there for one another. We need to learn how to become more vulnerable. And I've got a great way to suggest for us all. Are you ready? Connect with small groups of people that you can be vulnerable with. Now, you might go, well, that's easy. It's not. You're not going to be completely open and vulnerable with everybody. You're always going to hold something back. You know, I've had pastor groups, you know, groups with pastors, because that's what we do. We, as pastors, come together, and we have accountability groups, and we work together. But you know what a fear is in our groups? Are you going to be my district superintendent someday? Are you going to be my bishop? So there's that sense that we aren't as completely vulnerable as we might be. We struggle with that too. Small groups, Sunday schools, mission teams, choirs, all those groups of people that you can be a part of, I want to encourage you to do that. Coming to worship is awesome, and the Holy Spirit anoints us as we worship our God with a full heart, and we are blessed by our Lord Jesus Christ. But to be a part of something, to be a part of a group, that's where we can begin to learn how to be vulnerable, because we share life with people. We've had this Alpha program going on for several weeks. We're about to wrap up this iteration of Alpha. It will end in early December. But this past weekend, we kind of had mega alpha, because we had an alpha weekend. And you know what it was about, all about? The Holy Spirit. And we learned more about the Holy Spirit than I probably preached here, simply because it was right there in 2 days, and we wrestled with what that meant. What does the Holy Spirit? How have we experienced the Holy Spirit? Have we experienced the Holy Spirit? What gifts does the Holy Spirit give us? What we learned was one thing. But the life we shared together, that was amazing. Because that's when we could be vulnerable, and we could share from our heart questions, and we could share prayers with one another. Our youth know this. I'm looking to you two in the back row there. They are amazing. You know, in youth Sunday school and Sunday night youth, our youth, our students really can show us the way and how to be open about what's going on in our lives. They haven't learned to put on, well, actually they have, learning to put on all the filters that we as adults have in our lives. But it's such a joy and such a blessing to hang out with them as they share what's going on in their life. They show us the way. The Bible study Sunday school class in the corner pocket here. Right this away. How amazing is it that even in the midst of not being able to meet all the time, that they still stay together? And how amazing is it that they went to visit one of their members who was out of state? That was Verda Day. Now, Verda was very sleepy that day when they visited, but they were there. And I know that Verda knew somehow that they were there. Isn't that amazing? The Nomad Room, the Nomad class, they are not able to meet. Their teachers are in golden years. They're not able to be here. But I talked to Sharon Poisel this week, and she said, Kevin, I'm still talking to people. So they're still sharing life together. Because you don't have to be in the same room to share life together to be vulnerable. But you have to have the courage to connect. And isn't that a vision for our church, it seems to me? To connect people to Jesus, and to connect believers into growing commitment, and to connect to our world and our town in service. That takes courage. Take courage, church. Learn what it means to be vulnerable. Respect necessary boundaries but learn how to be more open with each other. And at the very least, if you ask somebody, how are you? Mean it. And if you choose to answer, answer honestly. Because that's part of who we are. We are a people of love called to love. And that means we have to have the courage to be vulnerable. May it be so. And all God's people said, amen.